We're here on Daf Peches Amid Beis, looking at a Gemara that's an Agadita, and we're talking about the Big Day Kahuna and how they were Mechaper for various specific Averis relative to each one of the Begadim. And we've spoken a little bit about the Me'il, the Ketones, the Mechnasayim, the Mitznefes. Now we'll talk about the Avnet. The Avnet Mechaper al Hirhur al Lev. If a person was guilty of Hirhur Avera, having the wrong thoughts, maybe scheming to do a criminal act. And the Avnet, which was worn around the heart, would be Mechaper for Hirhur Avera of the heart. Hecha de Isa. In other words, the Avnet ties itself around the heart. And therefore it's Mechaper on Hirhurei Halev. The Gemara, back on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, derives from the Pasuk in Yechezkel Mem Dalid, Lo Yachkaru B'yeza, that the Chagor, the belt of the Avnet, should be below the Makom Zeah, which would be the underarms. It should be lower down, Keneged Atzilei Yedehem, which is where you would put the let's say a straight line across your two elbows, if your elbows were on two sides of the body, and that's over the heart. Choshen is mechaper al adinim, for the sin of deviating from justice and distorting justice. And that's based on the pasuk shenemar at the end of Shmos. It says, Vasisa choshen mishpat. The choshen is a kapara for mishpat. And that's what the pasuk says, V'nasa Aaron es mishpat b'nei Yisrael al libo. The choshen, which was on the lave, would be mechaper, the avon, the sin of ivus ha-mishpat. Some sort of distortion of justice. And you get the impression now that we're talking about kapara for the tzibur, not for the individual kohen who's wearing the begadim, or even for another specific Kohen or a specific Yisrael, but rather for Klal Yisrael, who might be guilty, at least some representatives of Klal Yisrael might be guilty of these particular sins. Ephod, Mechaper on the Avon of Avodas Kochavim, Shenemar, V'ein Ephod Usrafim, that's a Poskin Hoshea Novi. And these Trafim, which we know already from Chumash, are idols that were worshipped. So we're going to derive from this pasuk in Hosea that when there's no ephod, then there's a gilui of the avon, the sin of trafim, and ain ephod, then there's a gilui of trafim. But if there's an ephod, it's mechaper on the avon of avodah zarah. The pshuto shel mikra of ain ephod u trafim would be that there's no ephod and there's no trafim. In other words, even if during the days of Golos, of the exile of the Jewish people, there's no ephod on the body, worn on the body of the Kohen Gadol, and on top of the ephod was the Urim V'tumim, therefore they had no way, no wherewithal of asking Hashem about the future. Nevertheless, B'nai Yisrael are not going to go and ask about the future from the trafim, from the different sorceries and idolatries. However, since the pasuk says ein ephod utrafim, it doesn't say ein ephod v'ein trafim. The drasha was that if there's no ephod on the Big Day Kahuna, then there's going to be a revelation of the sin of trafim. If there's a Beis HaMikdash and there's an ephod, then the Big Day Kahuna mechaper on the avera of avodah zarah. Me'il mechaper al lashon hara. Minayin, how do we know? Because there's no apparent intuitive connection between the Me'il and the sin of Avodah Zarah. Yavo Me'il Shehu Dovar Shebekol, the Me'il, because of the pomegranates and the bells, would make a noise. V'yichaper al kol, and that should be a kapara for the sin of a kol. And the sin of a kol here is the sin of Lashon Hara. Tzitz Mechaper al Azus Ponim, and we'll try to define what Azus Ponim means, but how do we know that there's a relationship between Tzitz and Azut Ponim? Azut Ponim has something to do with a certain proskite, a certain a certain bold kind of gaiva. But b'tzitz k'siv v'hoya al metzach Aaron and azus ponim in a pasuk in Yirmiyah k'siv, that when the Navi castigates the Jewish people on their bad sins, it says u'metzach isha zona hoyalecha me'ant hikolim, which means that if a harlot has an azus ponim, she's not embarrassed, she has that certain chutzpahdika boldness. And since it used the word metzach in that pasuk of u'metzach in Yirmiyah of u'metzach isha zona, we derive that the kapara for azus metzach depends upon the tzitz, which is worn on the metzach of the kohen gadol. Because in the case of the tzitz, the pasuk says v'yal metzach aron, and the metzach isha zona is a paradigm of azus ponim, which is the opposite of natural busha, of a certain humility and a certain tznius. And the pasuk says v'hoyal metzach aron v'nosa aron esavona kodshim, which would seem to indicate that tzitz, in contrast to our sugya, is machapar on tumas kodshim. But nevertheless, since the tzitz was designated to be one on the Metzach Aaron, the Chachamim took the license of darshaning that it's coming to be mechaper for the Azus Ponim of the Metzach. Now, are Big Day Kahuna mechaperim on the sin itself, or just on the Tzibur, that the Tzibur, the community as a whole, should not carry this sin? Or these sins. Another question that arises is whether this kapara is on a shogeg or even on a mezid. And is the kapara of the Big Day Kuna conditional on tshuva or even without tshuva? And all these issues are addressed in a Gemara in Erech and Daf Tes Zayin in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that on seven things, on seven sins, negoyim boim, we get negoyim. Loshen hara shvichas domim, shvua shav, gili arayis, kasus ruach gezel, tzaras ayin. And the Gemara asks on this memra of Rabbi Yochanan from Rav Ineni here, who holds a big day kahuna mechaperim on some of these averis, not at all of them, but many of them, including avon loshen hara. So how is it possible that negoyim are generated by, for example, sipro loshen hara, when he already has the kapar of the me'il? And the Gemara answers, there's a difference between ho'ilu masov, and then we're going to have negoim boim, and lo ho'ilu masov, where the kapara of the me'il is sufficient. In other words, to what extent did his yetzahara cause some sort of a ripple effect, a repercussion and an impact on those around him, and it created some sort of enmity? To that extent, it's not going to be sufficient just for the Kohen to wear the me'il. But if, on the other hand, the Lashon Hara didn't impact on and create any ktata, as we say, that's called lo ho'ilu masav, then the Big Day Kahuna alone would be mechaper. Rashi in Masechta Erchin raises the following question: why does Gemara ask only on Lashon Hara? Why not ask on the other averos that Rabbi Yochanan claims are generate negoyim, like for example Shvichas Domim, Gilarayas, and we find Kapar and Big Day Kuna for those also? And Rashi answers that with regard to Shvichas Domim, Gilarayas, we find that if one individual member of Klal Yisrael sins, then as a result of his sin, there's a chiyuv on all of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the kapara Big Day Kahuna on these sins is not a kapara on the sinner himself, but on the tzibur, that they shouldn't carry the responsibility, the guilt for his sin, whoever was in violation of Shvichas Domim or Gilui Arayos. And therefore, we can generate a kapara satzibur through the Big Day Kahuna, but nevertheless, the negoyim will come on that individual who is responsible and guilty for either Shvichas Domim or Gilui Arayos. In the case of Avon Lashon Hara, we don't find that sin generates a chiyuv on all of Klal Yisrael, such that the tzibur would benefit from the kapara of the me'il of the kohen of the big day kuhuna, and therefore the Gemara asks a stira here from our sugya here, which indicates in the name of Rav Einini that there is a kapara for lashon hara as a result of the me'il. Tosus here, Dibra Maska Mechaprim, if you take a look at this long Tosus, he also gives a similar kind of answer, just that Tosus holds that the sins of Gilui Arayos, the Big Day Kuna, are Mechaper not only for the Tzibur, who are sort of inadvertently guilty for creating the atmosphere that might have generated this severe sin of Gilui Arayos, but even for the Chote himself. In the case of Shvichas Don, however, the kapara is only on the Sharat Tzibur, but not on the individual person who is guilty of the Avera Chamur of Shvichas Don. The Gemara now asks a general question, Rav Einini. Eini, is this really so that Big Day Kura Mechaper and all these sins, Va'omar, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Shnei Dvarim lo matzino lehem kapara v'karbonos? There are two things that do not lend themselves to kapara through a karbon, umatzinulem kapara mimokom achir, but there's another way of generating kapara, v'eluhein shvichus damim v'loshen hara. Now, if the karbonos are not mechaper, neither for shvichus dam v'loshen hara, what else, what are the method of kapara is there for these two sins? And the Gemara answers one by one, shvichus damim me egla rufa. Is kapara for the avera shvichas dam by bringing the egla rufa, that if we find a dead body between two cities and we don't know which city, so we measure the closest city and the zikne ha'ir of that closest city to the corpse, to where the location where the corpse was found, will bring an egla and an orphanos of a nachal, and that's going to bring a kapara for shvichas dam. And this is all clarified in Parshas Ki Teitze Dvarim Chaf Aleph, Lashon Hara Miktores, that there is a kapara for the aver of Lashon Hara through the Ketores. How do we know this? The Tani, we learned, Rabbi Chanina, Rav Chananya, Minayin L'Ketores and Mechaperes, Shenemar, it says, by Aaron HaKohen, when the assembly of Israel gathered together after the Machlokas of Korach Adoso, and if you recall, we read this just a week ago, the Negev started in Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Vayitein Es HaKetores Vayechapra La'am, that it was the Ketores that caused the termination of this plague. V'toni debei Rabbi Yishmael alma Ketores mechaperes al Lashon Hara. And the reason why Ketores is the atonement for Lashon Hara is because Yavo Ketores, Dover Shebechashai, it's something that is brought privately, meaning inside the Heichal, and no one's allowed to be between the Ulam and the Mizbech at the time of Haktoris. Haktoris, the Gemara establishes Yuma. Certainly no one's inside the Heichal, except for the Kohen HaMaktir. So that's called Sina. The Echaper, and it should be Mechaper on Lashon Hara, Maisech HaShoy, where a person speaks privately. Because Lashon Hara is usually B'Chashoy. If it's more public, it's probably Motzi Shemra, that comes under a different Avera. So Kasha, now we have a Stira, because on the one hand, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Ketores is Mechaperes on Lashon Hara. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Einini, the Me'il is Mechaper for Lashon Hara. So the Gemara answers Kasha. And the Gemara says the following. Shvichas Doma, Shvichas Domim, whether or not it's the Egla Rufa or the Big Day Kuna, and we have Lashon Hara on Lashon Hara, whether or not it's the Big Day Kahuna or is it the Ketores. So Gemara answers that in the case of Shvichas Dam, there's no Lokasha. Why? Harav Ineni, the Yediya Man Katle. In other words, when is Big Day Kuna Mechaper for Shvichas Dam? That's if we know, we can identify the murderer. However, in the case of Egla Rufa, we need that kapar for a case where we cannot identify the murderer. So now we have the ketones, which is worn by the Kohen, and it's mechaper for the tzibur, that there should be no communal punishment for shvichas damim in the case of the Adiyah Man Katle. But ha, the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where the kapara is generated by the Egla Rufa, delo Yediyah Man Katle, we cannot identify the killer. And in such a case, the ketones is not the mechaper, but rather the Egla Rufa. So Gemara immediately rejects this. Idi Yediyah Man Katle is Bar Katolahu. If we can identify the killer, why does Rav Einani need the kapara of the ketones? Why not just put the person to death? And not only that, if the tzibur is negligent and they decide not to put the person to death, or they procrastinate in any case, then they will be punished. And the kapara of the ketones is not going to help. So imanafshach. If on the one hand they're going to put the murderer to death, that should be enough of a kapara to protect the tzibur. If on the other hand the tzibur refuses to implement the death penalty in this case, then they're going to suffer a punishment, a communal punishment, despite the ketones. And the Gemara answers, b'mezid v'lo asrube. The case is where the tzibur is, in a sense, guiltless for not putting the murderer to death, even though we can identify him. Because in this case, we have a technical omission here, and that is there was no asra. So we cannot implement the capital punishment in Bezdin. And in such a case, we need the ketones as a general kapar for the tzibur, that they shouldn't be punished for the sin of the rotzeach. The rotzeach himself will suffer negayim. He's not free. Now we get back to the other question we had: lashon hara, nami lo kasha. The stira about kaparas lashon hara is the kaparas lashon hara generated by the ketores, or is it generated by the me'il? And the Gemara answers, lo kasha. Ha betzina ha befarhesi. Rabbi Shuvan Levi, when he speaks about the kapara power of the ketores, he's talking about an avera of lashon hara betzina. However, Rav Inani, when he speaks about the kapara power of the big day kahuna, in this case specifically the me'il, that's talking about lashon hara befarhesia, which means hashmas kol. There's a noise that can be heard publicly, and the me'il also was mashmia. It's called publicly through the pa'amonim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin formulates a principle that if a person kills someone b'mezid without asra, we're supposed to lock him up in a jail, and will indirectly cause his death. And if that be the case, it would still seem that we're back to the kasha, that if the tzibur didn't do so, meaning lo echnisu es harotzech l'kipa, then the ketones should not be able to be mechaper for them, just like in the case where they didn't put him to death with the capital punishment. And the achronim answer this question, that since the din is kontzim es l'kipa, and that's not meikar din, that's only takonas mishum tikun olam, as the Rambam points out in the fourth parak of Rotzech, therefore that's not going to hold back the kaparas atzibur through the ketones that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. Hadron Alecha Mizbach HaMizbeach Mekadosh. And now we're about to start Emir Tzashem, the 10th parak of Zvachim, Kol HaTadir. And this parak is going to clarify the dinim of Kedima as far as Hakrovas Karbonos and eating the Karbonos is concerned. The Mishnah is going to clarify here at the beginning of the 10th parak which Karbon the Kohen should bring first in a case where he has two Karbonos to bring, or more than two Karbonos. Kol HaTadir Mechavero, any Karbon which is a regularly brought Karbon, and the second Karbon is not so Tadir, and you have a choice which one to bring, is you bring the Tadir first. Tadir Kodem Kodem Es Chavero. And this is really the source for the rule that applies universally in Kol Tarkua, that if you have two mitzvahs, is we apply Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem. The Mishnah now brings a few examples to illustrate this principle. Hatmidim, the Karbonos Tamid, which are brought every morning, Kodmin L'Musafim, during the morning service, they, the Tamidim, come before the Musafim, because Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, the Tamid is brought every day on a daily basis, the Musaf is only brought on Shabbos and on Moed. And the Parsha of the Tamidim is in Bamidbar Perek Chavches, and that's a Tamid Shel Shachar and a Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And then we have the Parshios of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Moedim, also in those Prakim, and that's called in a once sort of a short form, it's called a Karban Musaf. And the Mishnah here is clarifying the principle that the Tamid Shel Shachar has to come before the Musaf. What happens if they brought the Musaf first? Then in all likelihood the Karban would be Kosher B'dieved, but that we have to see. Now, as far as Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, the din is not the same. The Musaf comes before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. In fact, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, as the Gemara establishes in Tavid Nishchad in Pesachim, has to be the last Karban of the day, with the possible exception of Erev Pesach. The Gemara Menachos clarifies that even in a case where there's no possibility of being makriv more than one Karban, for whatever reason, and he has a choice between Tamid and Musaf, a real triage, as we would call it. Let's say, for example, they don't have enough kvasim in the flock, then we bring the Karban Tamid, even at the expense of losing and forfeiting the Karban Musaf. The Brisker Rav was wondering, how could we violate Shabbos based on this halacha of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir? Both Tamidim and Musafim of Shabbos, in this case, are Kvasim. They both are Karban Ola. The Kohen doesn't have to have Kavanah L'Shem Karban Musaf, he just has to have a Kavanah L'Shem Ola. That's the Machsheves L'Shma. So, how do we establish that the Keves that he brought first is going to be the Tamid, and the Keves that he brings second is going to be determined and established as a Musaf? Once he's makriv the keves for an ola, then that keves automatically is ola l'karban tamid. So what is this discussion here about which comes first and which comes second? It's automatically so. Why is the Mishnah establishing a responsibility, an obligation to make sure that the first keves is brought as a tamid? It automatically is so. And the Brisker Rav answers that the karban tamid has a din that it needs what's called Bikur HaKeves. For 4 days before that Krav, you need Bikur HaKeves to investigate it and make a bedika on this Keves, to make sure that it's not blemished in any way. That's a Sugyan Erechin on Daf Yud Gimel. In the Musaf, there's no requirement to Bikur, and therefore if they bring a Karban, a Keves as a Karban that's not Mavukar, then ipso facto they were Makdim the Karban Musaf, and they violated this din of Kedima for the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, supposing Rosh Chodesh overlaps with Shabbos, now he has to bring two Karbanis Musaf, one for Shabbos and one for Rosh Chodesh. Which one comes first? So once again, we're going to apply the principle of Tadir, and this is another example, because Musafi Shabbos Kodmi Musafi Rosh Chodesh, because Shabbos comes 52 times a year, whereas Rosh Chodesh comes 12 months out of the year. On Rosh Hashanah, we bring a Karban Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and also a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. The Torah says, in Bamidbar Chavtes, Al Musaf Rosh Hashanah is Milvad Olas HaChodesh Uminchasa. So which of these two Musafim should come first? And the answer is, says the Mishnah, Musafi Rosh Chodesh Kodmin Musafi Rosh Hashanah. Because whereas Rosh Hashanah is once a year, Rosh Chodesh is every month, and it's more Tadir. now apply this principle to all these cases above and ask yourself, well, what's the source that Tadir comes first? Shenema, the Mishnah closes with the following drasha. And he quotes the pasuk in Bamidbar Chav Ches with regard to the Musaf of Pesach, Chagah Pesach. It says, Milvad olas haboker, asher lo olas hatamid ta'asu es eile. It's a very familiar pasuk to us because we read it over and over again during the days of Pesach. And it seems from this pasuk, if we read it straight, that you require to be makir the Korban Musaf in addition to the olas haboker, which means that the Olas HaBoker, which is the Olas Tamid Shel Shachar, has to be brought, and then we bring the Korban Musaf. And the reason for that is because Tadir Shein Tadir Tadir Kodem. Now what's a little bit strange about the Mishnah is that the Sugya in Tamid Nishkat in Pesachim establishes that you're not allowed to bring anything before the Tamid Shel Shachar, and that's derived from a pasuk in Vayikra Vav, V'arach Oleha Ola. Now, why does the Gemara need that pasuk? After all, Tamid has a din of Tadir, and therefore it should come first before all the Karbonos, simply because it's Tadir. Why do we need the drush of Arach Olea Ola? And Tosis answers that from the pasuk, Milvad Ola Saboker, we derive only that Shechita Satamid, where it says Tasu, that has to come first. And that's Tadir Shenu Tadir. So we're talking about the pasuk of Asiyas Hadam, which means Shechita. The pasuk of Ha'ola teaches us that even the Haktorah of the Karban, in this case the Tamid, has to come first on the Mizbeach. Tosus then gives a teretz in the name of Reb Chaim, that's Reb Chaim the Baal HaTosus, that Minchas Chavitin, which is brought daily, is also a Karban Tadir, just like Tamid. And from our Mishnah, we would not know that the Tamid would come before the Minchas Chavitim, and for that we need the Drosh of Ha'ola in Masechet Pesachim. The Chazon Ish asks the Kasha here, why do we need a limud from the Pasuk to teach us the din of Tadir Kodem? It's a Svara. When a person has two mitzvahs, he should be makdim the more chomer of the two mitzvahs. Like, for example, the Gemara establishes in Masechet Shabbos that if you have a choice between Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah should come first because of Persumei Nisa. In other words, the assumption, the premise of the Chazon Ish is that a mitzvah that's Tadir is by definition more chamur. It's a heavier kind of a mitzvah. And he answers that this din, that the more chamur the mitzvah comes first, only applies when there are two mitzvahs lefanav. But let's say he has only one mitzvah lefanov, and that mitzvah is a mitzvah kala with a kuf, and it's a relatively light mitzvah, and he started being osek in that mitzvah, he started implementing that mitzvah, then what came to his attention is another obligation came onto his desk, and that's a mitzvah chamura. He would not drop the mitzvah kala and pass over it for the sake of the mitzvah chamura because of the principle of osek mitzvah potmos. But here, that we're learning a separate din from a pasuk, a separate pasuk biyuchad. This is not just the din of kedima because of kavod mitzvah, v'osik b'mitzvah. This is a separate din, a din miyuchad in seder akrava. And therefore, even in a situation where the enog tadir started first, in other words, he began to be osik in it, and therefore you might apply the principle of osik b'mitzvah, he still has to be makdim the karban tamid, freeze what he's doing, because of the special principle that's derived from the pasuk Milvad Ola Saboker. The Gemara now raises the following question. Minolan. What do you mean, Minolan? Ki the Kamar Taima, the Mishnah itself answers the question, Minolan. We derive this principle of Tadir from Milvad Ola Saboker. So the Gemara clarifies now the question of Minolan. And the Gemara asks, how can we derive this principle from of Karbonis Tmidim from this pasuk Dilma Tmidim Heim to Kadlum Sof Mishum de Tidire? Perhaps when we're dealing with the Karbonis Tamid, we have a din Kedima over Musafim in that relative question because the Karbon Tamid is more Tadir. And that's because it's brought on a daily basis. That's a very significant Tadirus that every day requires a Karbon Tamid. Just the other day, we commemorated Shivasa Batavas, the Bitl HaTamid. But in the case of Musafel and Musafel, let's say we had two Karbonos Musafim, for example, Musafel Shabbos and Musafel Rosh Chodesh, neither of these two are brought on a daily basis. Minolan, how do we know that the din of Tadir Kodim applies even in this case? Maybe Tadirus, which is derived from the parasha of Karban Tamid, only applies to Karban Tamid because it's a daily mitzvah, a daily karban. That's a real Tadir of the first order. On Rabbi La, that this extra din, that Tadir Kodim applies even to Karban Musaf, in this case, Musaf Shabbos, that's derived from a different drasha based on a pasuk in Bamidbar Chaf Ches with regard to the first day of Pesach, and we bring the Musaf on the first day of Pesach that consists of two parim, one ayal, seven kvasim, all brought for an olav. This is sa'ir echad lechatos, and on this set of karbonos, the Torah declares milvad olasa boker shel olasa tamid tasuas eile. And this is the source for our Mishnah that Tamid applies even to Musaf. Why? The Omer Kra, the Pasuk says immediately afterwards, Ka'ele Tasu Liyom Shivas Yomim. The Musaf is considered Tadir if it's got this description of Layom Shivas Yomim. And this teaches us that the Musaf is Tadir and it comes before a Musaf that's not Tadir. And that's what the Torah means, ka'ela, means ele ka'ela. The karbonos about which we can say ka'ela tasu le'yom, the karbonos come under tasu is ele. In other words, just like tasu is ele is derived from tamid, where the tamid comes before musaf, because it's tadir, so too with regard to karbonos here in this pasuk, ka'ela tasu ayom, meaning the musaf of the 7 days of Pesach, are also included in the din of tadir. And therefore, in the Shabbos that comes out in the middle of Pesach, which is always going to be, we have to be makdim the Shabbos Musaf to the Pesach Musaf because it's more Tadir. So in other words, the statement here of Rav Hillel regarding our Mishnah is that the Mishnah never really completed the Limud. The Mishnah only brought half of the Drasha, and the full Drasha means that Tamid, in other words, the drasha is brought in the Mishnah, the limited drasha that can only establish that Tamid comes before Musaf. The Gemara points out in the name of Rabbi Lo that the Mishnah did not bring the drasha that teaches us that Musaf has the din of Tadir, and that therefore the Musaf of Shabbos relative to the Musaf of the Yontif is called Tadir. We're going to see soon Abaye, and he's going to have a different approach, and he's going to say that everything's included in the mission itself. The Gemara asks the following question: how can you derive this principle of Tadir and Musaf from the word Ka'ela? The Harei Hai Mi Boile Gufe. I need the word Ka'ela for the pasuk itself to teach me ka'ela tasu yom shivas yomim, to teach us that on each one of the 7 days of Pesach we bring the same identical carbon musaf as we brought on the first day. So it's not a superfluous phrase that allows us to derive this drasha. So my answer is no, it is superfluous. In Cain, if it's only teaching me that all 7 days require the same carbon musaf, the identical carbon nichtov, the Torah could have said Ele tasu layom shivas yomim. That would have been enough to teach us that all shivas yomim require the same musaf. It didn't have to say ka'ela. And the chaf is completely superfluous. It could have said ele. Why did it have to say ka'ela? It's coming to teach us the drush of Rav Hillel, ele ka'ela. The Gemara is not happy with that answer. Ikosav, ele tasu layom shivas yomim. If it had written ele without the chaf of ka'ela, Havamina would have said Eile l'shivas yomim in midiachrini lo, that these seven kvasim that are mentioned earlier in the pasuk, we have to be makriv on all 7 days of Pesach. On every day we bring a keves, so that at the end of the 7 days we bring a total of seven kvasim. We need the ka'ele to tell us that on each day we bring the full seven, identical to the other days. And that's Ka'ela. So the letter Chaf is not superfluous. And how do you then use it for the Drasha Rav Hillel? So Gemara comes to defend Rav Eloi's drasha and saying that even if it would have said Eile Tasu Layom, we would not have possibly made a mistake to think that during the full 7 days we bring a total of 7 kvasim, one per day, because Layom Ksiv, the pasuk says Eile Tasu Layom. And what's the mashmos of Layom? That on each day we should bring the same carbon of the 7 days, which means the 7 kvasim. So again, the chaf is extra. And the Gemara is not happy with that either. Bakati, if it would have said layom, we would not know enough. If it would have said ela and not ka ela, we could make the following mistake. Ema, we would think that the pasuk should be split into two. At the beginning it says ela tasu layom, which means that the karbonos, Eile, we should do layom, layom meaning only on the first day, and then shivas yomim, lechem ishei reich nichoch Hashem, means that during the balance of the yontif, the next 6 days that are left over, we should bring a karbon musaf, aval shar yomim, but on those days, the balance six days, lo yadana kam, we have no idea how many karbonos to be makar for that musaf. The pasuk only teaches me that we bring the 7 kvasim on the first day. We have to bring a carbon musaf on each of the other 6 days, but it doesn't tell us what the carbon consists of, the musaf of those 6 days. Therefore, we need ka'ela with a chaf. And ka'ela tasu yom shivas yomim will establish that on each one of the days we have to bring the identical carbon that we brought on the day before to lead us back to the first day of 7 kvasim. And once again, we need the chaf, and it's not superfluous for the drasha of Rav Eloi. So the Gemara now answers that if it would have said Eile, it would not be possible to derive the conclusion that the pasuk intends to tell us that only on the first day we're makriv these karbonos, and in the balance of the other days we don't know how many to be makriv, because the pasuk says Amakra Tasu. And what is Tasu? Tell me, what's the mashmos of Tasu? Sheyu kol asio shavos. Tasu means a uniform carbon for all days. That the asi of the first day is exactly equal and identical to the asi of the other days of Pesach. So again, it comes out that the chaf of ka'ele is superfluous, and therefore Rav Eloi's drasha is defended. The Gemara now brings another answer to the question, what is the source for Tadir in the case of Musafim? Abai Omar. Abai says we don't need a pasuk to teach us that the law of Tadir applies to Musaf, that one Musaf comes before the other if the first one is more Tadir, but that's Migufa Dekra, from the same pasuk itself. Milvad Olasa Boker Ashel Olasa Tamid. I, the Gemara Esekasha, maybe only Tamid. Tamid itself is the paradigm of Tadirus because it's brought on a daily basis. How do we know to apply Tadir to two different Musafim? On that Abai answers him, Cain, if the Pasuk is not coming to teach us anything about Musaf, meaning that the law of Tadir applies to Musaf, Lema Kra, the Pasuk could have said, Milvad Olas HaBoker V'Tishtok. It didn't have to add the additional words, Asher La'olas HaTamid. So Lomali, why did these words, Asher La'olas HaTamid, come after Milvad Olas HaBoker? It must be that the Torah is telling me with the words Asher lo lasa tamid that the law of Tadir that applies to Tamid applies not just to Tadir, but lo lasa tamid means lemeimer dahach tadira tiktok, to teach us that in all cases that carbon which is Tadir should come first, and the Musaf which is more Tadir relative to, let's say, the Musaf Shabbos relative to the Masav Yontif, has to come first. In which case, according to Abaye, the Mishnah itself really hints at the entire drasha, both with regard to the Tamid and with regard to the Musafim and the law of Tadir. And that's going to be derived from the words Milvad Olas HaBoker Asher Le'olas HaTamid. Now the Mishnah we're about to begin now addresses other dinim of Kedima and Avodas HaKarbonos, when you have two things to do. Kol hamekudosh mechavero kodem es chavero. Anything that has more kedusha comes first. And the Mishnah is now going to explain what that klal means. Let's flesh it out and illustrate an actual case. He shechted both a carbon chatas and a carbon ola. Now he has to do zrikas hadam. Dam chatas kodem lidama ola b'nei shehu meratze. The chatas, and specifically here the zrikas hadam of chatas, has an element which doesn't exist in the case of an ola, and that is the kapara element. A chatas obviously comes to be mechaper on a chet. In this case of chatas yochid, a very severe case. That's called ritzui. And a ritzui here is for an aver which, had it been violated, b'mezid, would generate kares. And that means that the kapor power of the zrika sadam of chatas is a massive one. This brings up the question of ola. Is there any kapara inherent in the ola? And one of the mefarshim, one of the achronim, the Pelon Meiris, quotes a sifra which says that an ola is mechaper on mitzvahs asay, but nevertheless, relative to chatas, which is mechaper kapara gdola, the kapara power of ola is dwarfed by that of a chatas. Now let's say he shechted a carbon chatas and a carbon ola, the dam was already the zrika sadam was already implemented. Now he has to be maktir on the mizbech the ivarim of the ola and the imurim of a chatas, which means the ivarim of the carbon chatas, which are muktarim, are brought on the mizbeach. In the case of an ola, we're makriv the entire behemoth, all its basar, all its evarim. That's the halach of kulei kolo le'ishim. In the case of chatos, and for that matter, oshim and shlomim, we're makriv only part of the basar, and that's part of the evarim, the limbs. Those are called emurim. And the Rambam, in Maisa Karbonis Perek Aleph, he delineates and enumerates exactly which Eivorim you have to be makriv on the Mizbeach. And the Rambam also has a Hakdama to Seder Kodshim, in which he writes that these Eivorim, which have to be brought on the Mizbeach, are called Emurim. Why are they called Emurim? Because of the Amira, the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Amira to be makter them. Now, why is it that the Eivorim of the Ola, which need haktar on the mizbeach, come first before the emurim of the chatos? And the Mishnah answers that question with the words mipnei shu kolei le'ishim, the carbon ola whose basar is completely burnt on the mizbeach comes first, as opposed to the chatos, where we're only makriv part of the emurim, of the evarim, not all the evarim. And this is called a ribui kedusha. Rashi says that when we're makriv the entire behemoth, that adds to the kedusha. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss the hakrov of a korban chatos, which comes before the hakrov of an osham. And the reason for that is, even though they're both coming for chet and for kapara, mipnei she dama, the dam of chatos nitan li arba kronos, we have a requirement that the dam should be sprinkled by the Kohen on four corners of the Mizbeach. This was a Gemara that we discussed back on Nun Beis. Whereas, in contrast, the Dam Osham is only poured onto Shtei Kronos. And this is the Mishnah back on Nun Dalit Omid Beis. Dam HaOsham Nitan Shtei Matonashen Arba. In other words, the Dam is poured on two of the corners of the Kronos of the Mizbeach. And then the dam spreads out to the all four corners of the Mizbeach. In other words, he stands on the Keren Mizrachis Dromis, he does his Rika there, and the dam will cover both the Mizrach and the Tzafon. He does another Matan Domim on the diagonal Keren, which is the Keren Maravis Dromis. And that zrika is going to allow the dam to spread. So he gets all four ruchos, but he only does two maisim, two actions of zrika, as opposed to chatos, which requires all four kronos, four zrikos. And furthermore, the chatos requires that after the Zrika, there should be a Shficha al Yisod Shel HaMizbech. The Asham does not require Shfichas Yisod. Now, the Asham does require Shficha Shirayim L'Yisod, but that's not explicit in the Torah. All the psukim that establish Shficha Shirayim are written with regard to Chatas, explicitly. And that gives Chatas a certain Maila, a certain special status. Even though, again, even in Asham, there's Shficha Shirayim on the Yisod, but it's only a kind of a secondary one. The primary one is Chatas. Shficha El Yisod is a Chov in the case of Chatas. And this reminds us of the very famous Chiddush of the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, that with regard to Chatas, even Rashi, who holds that in general Shvichas Dom is a conditional mitzvah, but here it's an absolute chiyuv. He's got to leave over from the Dam, from the Zrikos, to allow some vestige of Dam, leftover Dam, for the Shvicha on the Yisod. That's not true for the case of Asham, or for that matter, of other Karbonos. So therefore, Chatas comes before Asham because of the Nita and Domam, the Arba Kronos, number one, and also for the Shvichas Yisod on the Mizbeach, on the Shvichas Shirayim on the Mizbeach, Yisod on the Mizbeach, which is an absolute requirement. And this Gemara would be further proof to what the Brisker Rav and others say, that Shvichas Dom al Yisod, the Shirayim, that's a Hemshech, it's a part and parcel of the Zrikas Adam. There's even one opinion that, in certain cases at least, the Shvichas Yisod is Likuva. And that's a sugya, I believe, on Daf Nun Aleph, if I remember correctly. Asham Kodem Litoda the El Nazir. So if you have a choice whether to bring the Asham first on the Mizbeach, or the Toda, or the El Nazir, the isle that's brought by the Nazir as Shlomim at the end of his Nazirus, Asham comes first because Hu Kodshei Kodshim. So we're giving now priority to Kodshi Kodshim, as opposed to Todo and El Nazir, which are only Kodshim Kalim. However, within Kodshim Kalim, how do we set up a hierarchy? HaTodo ve'El Nazir Kodmin Lishlomim. Why is Todo and El Nazir more significant and is prioritized before Shlomim? Neshehem, meaning these two Karbonos, Todo and El Nazir Necholim Leom Echad, where Shlomim are eaten for 2 days and one night. And the question is, why does that set up a din kedima for the Toda and the El Nazir? And the answer is because the status of these two Karbonos is sort of like an overlap. It's a hybrid of both Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Because in a certain sense, the Toda and the El Nazir are almost quasi Kodshei Kodshim. They have the limitation of 1 day and one night for Achila, similar to Kodshei Kodshim, whereas Kodshim Kalim, like Shlomim, can be eaten for 2 days. Again, even though for all other dinim except for Achila, the laws of Toda and El Nazir are identical to those of Shlomim, but in this one aspect, the Toda and El Nazir have acquired the essence of a Kodshei Kodshim Karbon. But moreover, the Mishnah adds another point here, to unim lechem, that the Toda and the El Nazir have to be accompanied by lechamim. In the case of Toda, a massive amount of 40 lechamim, which are called lachmi Toda, will accompany the Toda, 10 of which are chametz and 30 of which are matzah. There are 10 chalos matzah, the 10 rikike matzahs, and there are eser chalos murbachos. And all this is delineated in the parasha of Toda and Vayikra Zayin. And as far as El Nazir is concerned, we bring Asar Lechamim, all of which are matzah, 10 Rekike matzah, and 10 Chalos matzah. And that's all in the parasha Nazir in Naso Bamidbar Vav. So we have two superior elements in Toda ve'El Nazir. One is that there is Zman Achila, reflects Kodshei Kodshim, and number two, that they require an accompaniment of Lechem, which does not apply to Karbanah Shlomim. There's no Karban Shlomim other than these two that require the accompaniment of Lechem. Now, what comes first in the following situation? Shlomim or Bechar? Right, the Bechar of a Behema Tahora, the firstborn, is Kadosh Mishas Leder, has to be brought on the Mizbeach. Its Basar is eaten to Kohanim, Zichrei Kohuna, that's in Bamidbar Yudches. And Bechar is one notch lower than Shlomim. What generates the din of Kedim and Shlomim? And there are a number of answers to that question offered by our Mishnah. Number one, Mipnei Shein Te'unim Matan Arba, the Shlomim requires Shtei Matan Shein Arba, and that's derived from the Pasuk of Chatos. Correction, that reflects the same principle that we saw before, the Chatos comes before an Asham, because of the number of matonas that you have to give in Chatos, that's the case of Arba matonas. Here, Shlomim has two matonas Shein Arba. What's unique about Bechor is that it only requires one matona on Karnas HaMizbeach, and that's codified by the Mishnah above on Daf Nunvav Amid Beis. And number two, Smicha. Shlomim requires Smicha, V'samach Yod al Rosh HaPar. The Baal HaKarbon has to put his two hands on the head of the Karbon, and he has to lean on it with all his might. That applies to all Karbonos Yechidim, requires Smicha with the exception of Bechor, Maaser, and Pesach. Now we're focused on Bechor. And Bechor does not require Smicha. Not only that, Shlomim requires Nesachim, so the Nesachim are brought as an accompaniment with the Karbon Shlomim. The Nesachim includes Soles, Mur, Beves, Beshemen, Lemincha, and Yayin, Lenesachim. In the case of Bechor, there are no Nesachim. And furthermore, Shlomim requires Tnufas, Chaze, Veshok. The Kohen puts the Chaze, Veshok onto the hands of the Bala Karbon. He, the Kohen, puts his hands under the hands of the Bala Karbon. He's Molech, Umevi, Malu, Morid. And this whole procedure, this whole requirement of a mitzvah of tenufa does not apply to Bechor. However, Bechor is not bottom on the list, because Bechor, again, of the firstborn of Behemah Torah, is kodem to Maser Behemah. Every tenth animal in the corral has to be sanctified as Maser Behemah, the afrosh of Maser Behemah, one out of ten of Behemah's Torahs that are born in his flock. They're brought to the Azor, and they're brought as a carbon. This is in Vayikra, Chavzayim, Chol Maser, Bokar, Vetzon, Kol Asher, Yavor, Tachas, HaShevet, HaSiri, Yia, Kodesh, Lashem. So why is it that the Bechor gets Kedima over Maser, Behema? Vibnei Shekedusha, So Mirechem, Imo. That the Bechor is sanctified from the moment it emerges from the body of its mother. So it's Kiddush from the beginning, from Leda. Maser, on the other hand, requires a Maisa to be Makdish, the Behema, the tenth Behema. And furthermore, the Nechal Kohanim, a Bechor, can only be eaten by Kohanim, which is another aspect of Kachi Kachim here in the case of Bechor, whereas Maser is eaten by anyone. And then Maser also has a certain priority, Kodem Laofos. All the Karbonos that are brought from either Torim or Bnei Yonah are on a lower level, so to speak, than Maser Behemah. The Neshu Zevach, which means it requires Shechita with a Sakin, like any Karbon of Behemah, whereas an Ola only requires Malika with the Tziporim. And there's an Adifus, a certain priority to Zvachim that a Shechita with a Sakin, because that's called Mitzvason Meruba. And all types of Behemos require shechita b'sakin. In oaf, we only have an oaf in the case of chatos v'ola. So in that case, behema also has the zevach behema has a certain, expanded kedusha in so far as it applies to all kinds of karbonos, whereas ofos would only lend themselves to two and only two karbonos. And there's another superior status or element to Maser Behema, which comes before Ofos, and that is Yeshbo Kodshe Kodshim, amongst the karbonos that are brought from an animal, we find kodshei kodshim, and domo ve'murov. And in the case of a behemah of a zevach, we're going to have zurikas domov and the burning of the emurim. Right? And we had discussion earlier about evrei ola, kodmim le'emrei chatos. And the Shittim Kubetzes addresses the question why the Mishnah felt compelled to give a second reason, and the fact that the first reason of min zevach was not sufficient, because even oaf can be called a min zevach, because malika really is a replacement for shechita, and it's mat to the carbon for kohen. And so therefore the Mishnah adds the second point about the haktaras emurim, and chatos ha'oaf, there's no emurim that are burnt on the mizbeach, just the dam and only the dam. Again, that's a little bit complicated, because olas ha'oaf is also completely muktar al gavi mizbeach, but nevertheless, in the case of maser, we give priority over to maser over chatos ha'oaf. For sure, it's kodem even to olas ha'oaf. So once we gave kedima in the case of chatos ha'oaf, we're going to expand that kedima to olas ha'oaf as well, and that's by definition, because chatos ha'oaf comes before olas ha'oaf, as the Mishnah is going to mention in the next line. Ha'ofos kodmim liminachos mipnei shehem minei domim, because the ofos have a din of dam, of hazos adam and mitzi adam, whereas minachos have no dam whatsoever. So the kapara power of ofos is that much greater than that of menachos. That's called kaparosam veruba, because of the element of dam that generates kapara in all karbonos, as opposed to menachos. Now within menachos, we have minchas chote, which is the case of the oni who brings, since he cannot bring the behema, the Torah gave him an allowance to bring a mincha as a replacement for a classical karbon, again only in the case of certain specific sins, for example Shavuos Eidus, Shavuos Bitui, Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav, and in all these violations he has to bring a chatos. But if he's an Oshir, he can bring his chatos from a behema. If he's an Oni, he can bring either a chatos of or an olas of, and if he can't even afford that, he can bring a mincha l'chatos, and that's called a minchas chote. And that carbon mincha kodem l'minchas nedava. A mincha could be bob in nedava. A person could volunteer to bring an optional mincha, but that's on a lower level than a kapar sachet. And for the sins that we mentioned earlier, the minchas chote is a kapar sachet, and therefore gets priority over other minachos, which lend themselves to a nedava. There's no nedava in the case of a minchas chote. Now, in the case of ofos, we have two categories of karbonos ofos. Which one gets priority? And that's the closing line here in the Mishnah. Chatos ha'of, kodemes li'olas ha'of. And that really seems to be nothing more than a specific application of an earlier principle, which is formulated explicitly by a Mishnah, that chatos in general comes before an ola, because it has a kapara meruba. And then the Mishnah concludes v'chein behekdesha, that a chatos ha'of comes prior to an olas ha'of, even at the moment of hekdeshasam, when he's mafresh two torim or two bnei yona, one for a chatos, one for ola, he should be kori shem first for the chatos, and only after he says and declares harezu chatos, then he should say harezu ola. So this leads us to the bottom of Daf Peites Amud Aleph, and the Gemara on the top of Peites Amud Beis Minani Mili is going to look for a source for the kedima of Adam Chatas over Adam Ola, or the Evrei Ola in the flip side over a Mure Chatas. And the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa to prove this based on the parashah in Bamidbar Ches, and Emirtz Hashem will analyze this in the next shiur.